Scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Mark. And I want to say, if you don't have one of these I call, this is a little flip chart. I call it the keys to the kingdom. And I've said this many times. If you're new and visiting, we've got some in a bowl in the back of the church when you go out. It's got Sylvia's name on the back of her picture. So if you don't know Sylvia and you see her and you want to talk to her, you can say, "Hi, Sylvia, how are you doing?" And she'll say, "How does he know me?" I've tried in just about every church, not this church, but about every other church I've pastored, I've tried to fight the name tag war, and I've lost every time. You can't get people to wear name tags. But if you'd like to know, we're trying to get everybody's picture on one side, name on the other, so you can have this in your purse or carry it in your pocket, or just so you can get to know people. And I hope that's a blessing to you. We're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them and he blessed them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, any history buffs here? Yeah, a few, some. The Battle of Austerlitz is one of the most famous battles. You may be surprised to hear that. Napoleon, was that mine? The Battle of Austerlitz is one of the most famous battles in the world. Napoleon, the emperor of Russia and the emperor of Austria had combined their armies, made a big allied army. They had the encouragement and support of the British, and they were going to stop Napoleon in Europe. And they met in the Battle of Austerlitz, and these two emperors' armies were attacked Napoleon's army and were numerically far superior. And the Russians also had artillery on a hill and were bombarding the French even as these armies were attacking. And what they didn't know was that Napoleon had another army that was supposedly a long ways away, but they did an overnight fast forced march. Mm-hmm. They marched to Austerlitz and they swept up over the hill, surprise, on the Russian artillery. They swept through the Russian artillery and then crashed into the back of the Allied armies. And it's one of the most famous victories, a come-from-behind victory. And the Emperor of Russia, his comment to his people afterwards was that he and the Russian and the Austrian armies, they were like babies up against a giant. And Napoleon wrote a letter home to Josephine. In his letter he said, "Oh, I beat two emperors today. I feel pretty tired." And all of Europe was at Napoleon's feet. And he was proclaimed emperor. And that's kind of the definition of the great man in the world's eyes. And when kids are playing video games, they're trying to be a Napoleon kind of hero where they conquer everybody, where they do something clever and they win against all odds. That's the world's kind of hero. Jesus Christ is the kind of hero that's born as a baby in a manger, right? That's different, right? Jesus Christ is the kind of hero that hangs on the cross and dies for other people. That's the kind of person that we worship. Jesus Christ is the kind of person that has time for little children. to take them in his arms and bless them. And I want our church to be committed to letting the little children come and be blessed by this hero that's like no other hero in the world. To be blessed by Jesus Christ. And to be able to serve him. Now, when I was in pastoring in Portsmouth, I started a ministry called The Fridge. And in The Fridge, it was like a video game arcade in the basement of the church. We had four video consoles linked together so that and four TVs placed back to back so that 16 kids could play in one game at a time. And in a very short time, we were kind of the flavor of the month for Friday night in Portsmouth. And word got around the junior high, and our volunteers multiplied, thank the Lord. But one night we had 60 kids in the basement of the church, and our volunteers are just standing with their backs at the wall going like this, making sure nobody's having sex in the corner and nobody's hurting somebody else. And we thought, this really humming. But we never led one child to Christ. I consider that we may have sowed some seed. The Lord knows whether there'll be any fruit in the kingdom. I'm not going to say a waste of time. But when I look at what Ethan is doing in our youth group and how the kids are being discipled to follow Jesus Christ, I say, praise God. I've tried the other way. Let's entertain them to death. And you know what happened at The Fridge eventually? Halo started to become a boring game. That's the problem with video games. They're popular for a while, and then you can't pay kids to play them. And the kids came while it was the flavor of the month. But we need to, as a church, commit that the thing that we want the kids to come to know Jesus Christ, to worship for themselves. And I am not against teaching the kids morality. In our culture today, we need clearly to teach the Ten Commandments and what the Bible says is right and wrong. Because kids don't know that witchcraft is wrong. Right? Kids don't know that the horoscope is wrong. Some adults don't know that the Bible teaches against the horoscope. Okay? And there are lots and lots of programs on TV that would teach our kids that it's okay to lie if you're lying in order to do something good. Okay? So there's all sorts of confusing stuff. And I know that one of the reasons we have kids in Sunday school is to teach morality. But morality is not going to save our kids. My brother worked as a music pastor in a church. And he had a choir in the church. And one of the ladies in his choir, this was in Canada, and one of the ladies in the choir had the job of teaching morality in Canadian high school. That was her job. Because Canada, you know, in the United States, we have this idea of a separation of church and state. But in Canada, as part of the British Commonwealth, they have a national church, and they don't have any culture that says you've got to keep church out of schools. So her job was to go into school and teach morality. It's a fairly straightforward thing to do if you've got the Bible to work with. And she came to prayer meeting, she came to choir rehearsal one night, and she was brokenhearted, and she asked her choir members, including my brother, would you pray for my daughter? She'd found that her now she's got the job of teaching her morality, But her daughter had had a computer up in her room, and the mother had found out that week that the daughter had been accessing porn for like 3 or 4 years from her bedroom. And through the websites that she was connected with from her bedroom, she had found an orgy group in the city. And she had begun going. This is what the prayer request is. My teenage daughter's going to this thing and I can't stop her. And a little while later, she took her 15-year-old sister to one of these orgies things. And then the sister, shortly after, the sister tried to commit suicide. And the sister did not commit suicide. But shortly after that, the sister was out working the street as a prostitute. 15-year-old girl. Okay, morality does not, teaching morality does not ensure that we're going to live according to what the Lord wants. What we need, it's not just kids. What we all need is the presence of Jesus Christ in our life by His Holy Spirit to give us power to worship. Just teaching morality, and I'm all for teaching what the Bible says is right and wrong. It's good as far as it goes. The book of Romans has a long lesson to teach that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But what the law shows is that we need a Savior. And what we want to have is a clear goal before our parents, before our church, before our Sunday school teacher, is to lead the little children to talk to Jesus, to come to Jesus for themselves, to have their own relationship with Jesus. And you know what? Little children can have a relationship with Jesus. I remember myself when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I was 8 years old, and many of you, I guess you've all heard my testimony before, but it's important for you to know that this is not just theory, this is real. I had a relationship with Christ when I was a little child. I went to church because you've probably heard Franklin Graham's joke about it. He said, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. Yeah. I was drugged to church. Yeah. I got drugged to church. I had the same problem. I was in church. No problem, turns out to be. But I had the same problem. I got drugged to church. And my grandfather and grandmother kept the little West Princeton Advent Christian Church open for years. Just a handful of people. And my grandfather died when he was 60. And my grandmother tried to keep the church open by herself for a little while. But then she had to move away. And she had to earn a living. She had to support herself. And so the church was going to close. And my dad, we went to a little Baptist church in the next town. My dad and his pastor hired a blind evangelist named Al Crocker to come to the West Princeton Advent Christian Church to try to preach the gospel and see if they couldn't get some people to come to Christ and get a new start for that church. And so Al Crocker was there. I was interested because he was blind. You know how a child is. And I wasn't necessarily paying attention the whole sermon because I was a child, 8 years old. But at the end of the sermon, he gave an invitation and said, did anyone want to come to Christ? Come to the altar, he said. And I felt this urgent thing. Like, I didn't understand what it was all about, but I thought maybe I should go to the altar. But then I thought, I probably ought to ask my dad. Because my dad, he was a little bit like Napoleon in our house. And he ran a tight ship. So on the way home from church that night, I said, Dad, when that man said, do you want to come to the altar? I thought I wanted to. What do you think? He said, you'll have to decide for yourself. Now, that was the first decision I basically got to make. Because my dad ran a tight ship. Okay? You'll have to make that decision. I didn't even decide how much potato to put on my plate. Okay? My plate was loaded up by my mother. And then I was told, clean your plate. Anyone ever been there? Yeah? Clean your plate. I'm still cleaning my plate to this day. And yeah, they were starving in India. So clean your plate. So the next night, I was really nervous the next night because I felt like I had, when I went there, I was wide awake for the whole service because I thought, I don't know, am I going to go to the altar or not? Am I going to go? And when he gave the invitation, I had said I want to go to the altar. My dad, the night before, I let the verse go by, and the second, the last stanza of the hymn on the chorus, I get up and I went down to the altar, and I began to weep. Well, I hadn't even done my bad sins yet. But I was sorry about the sins I'd done. And I wept at the altar. And my dad came down and stood with me. And he prayed with me and the pastor, and all others came to the altar too. My life was changed. And I found church transformed. And I could hear what the pastor had to say. Because I'd met Jesus Christ for myself. Our children need Jesus. They're going to need Jesus to make it through puberty. Because our culture is so saturated with sex, they're not, somebody at school is going to show them pictures that you've got no control over. And your kids are going to think now, and they're going to find those pictures interesting and arousing, and they can get addicted. And they're not going to be okay unless they learn about Jesus loves them anyway. And Jesus does love them. He loves us anyway. And he still wants to put his hands on children and bless them. And our kids have such problems in school. We had nothing compared to what they have today. I can remember riding home from on the school bus and about the first grade, maybe. And I played with my cousin Peter Carl. I played with him all the time. He was in my class. And we got on the school bus, and he had a seat. I sat right next to him. I put my arm around him. And the bus driver got up to check the bus before he took off, and he saw me sitting there with my arm around Peter. He said, "Do you like that boy?" And I, innocent as anything, you know, I said, "Yeah." And he shook his head. Now today, I'd be taken to the guidance counselor and counseled about what sex I was. You understand what kids are up against today? Kids need a safe place where they can be taught normal stuff, biblical stuff. And they get confused by the world. That's just what happens. Kids get confused by the world. And they need to be in a place where they can bring their confusion to us and we're not upset about it, you know? Why did you think that? Why did you say that? Kids, we need to let them understand that we don't understand everything. But there are some things that we do understand. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose from the dead. He is everything that he claimed to be. And that we have a prayer time in church because Jesus is still answering prayer for us. He's alive. And he is the heart and center of our faith. And he may not have ridden around the world on a great white horse conquering the nations, but he's coming again. Amen. And he's coming on a great white horse. Revelation says. He's come, and on his thigh is written the word of God. And his robe is drenched in blood, so it says, Revelation 19. And our kids need to be ready for Christ to come back. We need to lift him up and look for his coming. And it's not just our kids. You know, we need to set an example to our kids of integrity. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. That means that we own up to it when we're not. But that we seek Christ. We try to follow him. If we're not following Christ ourselves, awful hard to lead our kids where we're not going. So God grant us integrity. God bless our children and help them to walk with Christ at a young age. God bless our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders. God bless Ethan and all the work that he does and all those kids, and help them when they're all squabble amongst themselves, and help us when we all squabble among ourselves. Amen. Amen. We need his help. Eddie loves us. He knows all our needs.